Once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time, and once again, I'm still William Cooper, much to the chagrin of socialists everywhere. Boy, a lot is going on, folks, and we've got a lot to talk about. This broadcast is live today, and we're going to talk about all of it. So, get a pen and paper, and we may even take calls today. So write down this number. If I open the phones, you'll want to call in and discuss what's happening. The number is 520-333-4578. Don't call unless I tell you the phones are open, and then you can call all you want. 520-333-4578. Once again, the number to call if I open the phones, and I just may do that, is 520-333-4578. I'm going to ask some serious questions. We're going to talk about some things today that really seriously need to be discussed. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took it from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want it.
A new world order. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor reserve. The cashists make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies. They lend it back to us at full face value. Then charge you interest. You get the debt. They get the interest. They get the gold. You get the shell.
They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. It is a big idea. It is a big idea. Controls the CIA, the FBI, the ATF, and the FDA. They don't give a damn about the POW and the MIA.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, once again to an eye-opening broadcast of the Hour of the Time. We're just listening to my good friend Anthony J. Hilder and my good friend Evan Sweetwater, who put all the music that you're going to hear on this broadcast today. They did that. You can do those things too. I mean, it's with the readability, the availability, the inexpensive cost of all the stuff that you need to do these things today, common ordinary people like you and I are stretching the bounds of anything that anybody ever thought that we could do. And if you've been watching me over the years, if you want to see me do something real quick, just tell me I can't do it. And I'll be out there doing it before you can shake a stick or bat your eyelashes or whatever you want to do. I just came back. Pooh and I took a trip to Los Angeles. That's why there wasn't any broadcast in the Round Valley on Thursday and Friday. We took a trip to Los Angeles for the Video Makers Expo. It's a thing put on by Video Maker Magazine. And you see, since we lost our satellite transponder for radio, I've been looking around to see what we're going to do next. And folks, the only thing we haven't done is television. That's the only thing that we have not done yet. And I have sought and obtained permission, and I guess it's position too, because it's going to position us, I guarantee you, from all those who donated money to purchase equipment for a new satellite sub-audio transponder uplink, to use that money in any way we deem fit, as long as it's for the furtherance of educating and awakening the American people. So, we have every single penny of every donation meticulously accounted for, and folks, we're going to do television. Yep, we're going to do it. And we may even have a television station here in the Round Valley, because I've found a source of television transmitters which will allow us to transmit again if we do it. And I can't promise you're going to do it, but we're looking into it, as a nonprofit community service station, just like 101.1 FM, and would furnish 24-hour-a-day television to the Round Valley. How do you like that? And we can do it without coming under the purview or the regulation of the FCC, simply by not broadcasting interstate commerce. You see? The federal government is restricted by the Constitution for the United States of America. Where these things are concerned, they only have the power to regulate interstate commerce broadcasting. If we're not engaged in commerce, if we're not broadcasting interstate commerce, you see, we could even broadcast interstate if we want to, if we're not engaged in commerce, because it specifically and unequivocally restricts the power of the federal government to regulate only those broadcasts or that kind of activity which is engaged in, quote, interstate or international commerce. Actually, it's interstate commerce or international broadcasting. So we're not broadcasting internationally, and if we had a television station, we wouldn't be doing that either. And we're certainly not a commercial station. We don't charge for broadcasting. We don't have commercials. We don't pay for broadcasting. We don't do any of that stuff. Even when I play the reruns of the old broadcasts, which were done on commercial radio, we make sure that you know that they are reruns and that they are not commercial broadcasts, and to disregard the commercials that you may hear. They no longer apply. None of it applies. So, folks, that's one of the things that we may be doing in the Round Valley. We are also looking for a time slot for a one-hour, once-a-week broadcast program on a major cable or television satellite network so that our TV broadcasts may be heard, may be watched, may be seen. See, my mind is still sort of got one foot in radio and sort of sticking my toe into a tub of television water here. What I discovered, you see, I've known, because we've been doing little video documentaries for years. The first video I produced in, I believe it was 1990, was Project Red Light, or was it 91? Maybe it was 1991. Early in 1991 was a video called Project Red Light about the testing of the super secret flying saucer technology out of Area 51 in Nevada. In fact, regardless of what you have heard about this fraud called Bob Lazar, no one knew where Area 51 was until I told them on the Billy Goodman Happening on KBEG in Las Vegas in 1989. And a man was listening by the name of Dave Ellery. He went up where I told him to go, where I told everybody to go on the radio, and found a place where he could watch what came up over the mountains, and he began calling in to KBEG and reporting what he saw. And I've been going out there for many, many years and investigating. And then the place became famous. The Rachel Bar and Grill, because of that, changed their name to the Little Alien. And the rest is history, and you've been seeing bits and pieces about all this stuff on television ever since. But it originated with me, folks. And my video, Project Red Light, which was released and sold all over the country, just really opened people's eyes because we filmed some of these things. And they're in the video. They're also in Project Red Light 2, which was our second video. We've done several ever since then, occasionally. So I knew that, you know, people like you and I could make videos that were sort of good. Now, I'm not going to claim that these videos were the greatest. They were done for people who wanted to know certain information about a certain area. And they weren't put together to be a Hollywood production or a first-class, top-notch movie. And we had consumer-type equipment. And I actually put those videos together by by editing with two regular VCRs, just like you guys have in your homes, by lining up the tapes where I wanted to start from one and go record on another, and punching the record and the play button exactly at the same time, and trial and error. It took me weeks and weeks and weeks to do it, but I did it. You see, you can do anything that you put your mind to if you just want to devote the time and the effort, if it's important to you. Most people spend most of their life trying to keep from doing anything, and they actually end up working harder and spending more money getting out of doing what needs to be done than if they just went ahead and did it. Isn't that amazing? But it's, you know, it's the truth. That's the way people are. It's human nature. But I wanted to do better than that. So I've been exploring and looking in video magazines, and, you know, when we travel somewhere and we saw a video supply place, we'd stop and go in and see what they had. And I knew bits and pieces about things. I knew they had equipment like video toolkit that you can put on a computer that allows you to do like AB roll editing from one deck to another, or from two decks to one deck, controlled literally by the computer, but you're very limited in the quality and in what you can do. And also the VCRs make a big difference in the type of camera that you're using. We decided a long time ago to use Hi8 because Hi8 is really an incredibly good, compact, quality format that produces excellent video quality for the type of stuff that we do. And if you learn how to edit in the camera, you can produce some really fantastic, beautiful footage. So when I read in Video Maker, we almost missed it, folks, because I didn't even know this thing was happening until I picked up Video Maker about 2 days before we were supposed to be there and saw the ad. Not the ad, but an advertisement for some piece of video equipment that told me this thing was going on. So I immediately called and found out when and where and how much and all that kind of stuff. And Pooh and I jumped in the truck and lit out on Wednesday night and drove all night, and we were there Thursday morning for the beginning starting day. Folks, what I discovered at the Video Maker Expo was that anybody, any of us, with any creative talent whatsoever, it doesn't even have to be a lot, can, with very small investments, make top-notch, top-of-the-line, absolutely first-class, anything that CBS, ABC, CNN, or NBC can do type videos, including, if you want to, feature-length movies with the same quality, the same everything. And I had never known that before, so we are in the process of acquiring, slowly, the necessary equipment to produce, and I mean produce top-notch, A number one, first-class quality videotapes, and be able to make these tapes available to you to air on your public access channels and to also air on, it's just going to depend upon where we can find the television time and how much it's going to cost as to what time our show is going to air and on what network or what cable system, but it's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. It's going to happen. And we're going to use Pooh, my daughter, in a lot of these videos as the host or as the guide and get her started on a good career that can last her for the rest of her life, provided we can stay free enough for her to be able to do it. It's really why I'm doing all this, to give my daughters same chance for a good life that we all had, that we blew, and that we're now in the process of losing. Because we put people like Bill Clinton in the White House. And he's not the only one. So don't think I'm picking on him. So anyway, that's what's going on. That's what we're going to be doing. And I thought all of you might be interested in knowing that. If you donated any money for the satellite uplink equipment and you have not been contacted by us or you have not seen any of the notices that we've put out regarding the fact that we can't get another sub-audio transponder on the satellite for the radio broadcast, it's gone way beyond our ability to afford it now. And we can't find anybody that's even near the rate that we used to have. And the old transponder that we used to have is gone now. Somebody else is on there. If you haven't seen that and seen that, you know, the alternatives that we've posted and all that kind of stuff, if you're one of those, if you don't like what we're doing, you let us know in writing and we'll certainly refund your donation. We don't want to put anybody's money into any project that they did not donate that money for without their permission. So please understand that. And you can respond accordingly. But most of the donators have already given permission in writing to us, either by email or by regular United States mail, to go ahead and use the money in any way we thought fit, as long as it's... Actually, some of them said any way we want to. But, of course, we would never do that. It's got to go toward the mission of the Harvest Trust. That is to protect the assets of the trust, to try in every way we can to increase the assets of the trust for the benefit of the beneficiaries through the education and awakening of the American people in order to preserve the freedom in the future for the beneficiaries of the trust. And so that's everything that we do is toward that purpose. Okay, I want to pop over to something that's been going on in the state of Arizona. And some of you in Arizona might be surprised to hear this. And I want to caution those of you who live in other states to be on the lookout for this kind of stuff. The anti-gun lobby is going berserk. We're going to pursue this, what I'm going to tell you now. We're going to find out who ordered that it be done, and we're going to bring a lawsuit against that particular person, not the government, because it was a person who did this. You see, whoever's in charge of the Arizona Department of Transportation arbitrarily decided to make law. And that's unconstitutional both in the state of Arizona and in the United States of America. went way beyond his or her capacity as the head of that particular department. The Arizona Department of Transportation arbitrarily began posting signs at all the rest stops on all the highways in the state of Arizona that at rest stops in the state of Arizona, you could not possess or have a gun in your possession, either on your person or in your automobile or anywhere. They arbitrarily decided to throw the Constitution of the state of Arizona in the trash can and to decide that citizens of the state of Arizona could not possess firearms of any kind, no guns whatsoever, at any rest stop in the state of Arizona, either on your person, in your automobile, in your luggage, or anything. The Constitution for the state of Arizona is specific on this, ladies and gentlemen. It says that the right of the people of the state of Arizona to keep and bear arms for the defense of themselves and for the state shall not be infringed, period, by anybody for any reason. And as long as the gun or firearm in question is not concealed, any person in the state of Arizona can take their firearms any place they want to, any time they want to. I have worn my .45 on my hip and eaten in restaurants. I have gone to rest stops. I have gone to the grocery store. I have walked down the street. I've gone to the movie video rental place. I have visited my neighbors. You see? But, you see, these anti-gun nuts are going berserk. Somebody in the Arizona Department of Transportation, probably the big muckety-muck boss, whoever that is, we're in the process of finding that out, decided that they were going to prohibit all firearms, all guns, at rest areas and rest stops and the highways in the state of Arizona. How about that? Luckily, somebody notified Governor Hull. Now, I don't know much about Governor Hull, just that Governor Hull is a woman. Just recently took office. Governor Symington resigned. And so we've all been just sort of waiting to see what kind of governor Governor Hull is going to be. And she has passed her first test, if indeed this is her first test. There may have been others that I don't know about. But she certainly passed this test, Governor Hull. And I'm reading well, I'm not going to tell you what I'm reading because I'm not supposed to have it. But Governor Hull has formally requested the Arizona Department of Transportation to remove the signs at rest areas that prohibit guns. And the Arizona Department of Transportation will begin removing the signs, but it will take some time. In the meantime, the Department of Public Service, and for those of you who don't live in Arizona, that's the same as the Highway Patrol, the Department of Public Service is not, she has ordered them not to take any enforcement on people for merely possessing a weapon while at a rest area. And it's a good thing she did this, and it's a good thing that no Department of Public Service officer has ever attempted to enforce that arbitrary tyranny perpetrated by the head of the Arizona Department of Transportation, because they would have got their pants sued off. They could have had criminal charges pressed against them, and I mean major criminal charges. And a lot of people could have found themselves in real hot water for denying the constitutionally protected right of the citizens of Arizona to possess and carry firearms wherever and whenever they will or want in this state. But whoever is the head of the Arizona Department of Transportation is still in big hot water over this, because we're going to push this. We're going to find out exactly who ordered that. And we're gonna rake them over the coals for it. That is tyranny in this state. It is unconstitutional in this state. It is unlawful. It means somebody is in trouble. And we're going to make sure that that trouble is visited upon that person big time. Big time. And if you live in other states, you had better look out for this kind of thing. People, for the most part, stumble around and they see a sign and they never question it. They just obey it. Or they don't obey it and they get arrested and they get thrown in jail. And they never question if they were lawfully arrested and lawfully jailed. They just never do it. Most people don't understand that we've been living under various types of petty tyranny, and in some cases major tyranny, perpetrated by public officials vastly overstepping their bounds and ignoring the limitations of the Constitution for the United States of America and the Constitution for their state for many, many years. There are a lot of people in jail right now, ladies and gentlemen, who should not be there, who are there for things that should not and are not crimes according to the Constitution for the United States of America and the Constitution for their states. And this trend is increasing ever rapidly in the government's effort to make everyone in government a police officer, and everyone who's not in government, a criminal. I question everything. Sometimes I amaze people in the manner that I do these things. Just absolutely amaze them. I know that many of you fly. And I know that many of you, when you go to the airport and they tell you that you cannot board the plane unless you have two pieces of government identification, that you very quickly and very meekly get out your purse or your wallet and begin looking for two pieces of photo ID issued by some government agency, authority, or person. But you see, you don't understand that the Constitution for the United States of America says that we have the right to travel where we will, when we will, without impedance of any kind whatsoever. And the government hasn't got the right to demand that we produce anything in order to fly or travel by automobile or anything else, by bus or train or anything else, are to deny us that right if we refuse, unless they have probable cause based upon sworn affidavit and can produce a warrant signed by a judge that we have committed some type of crime. You want to see people go berserk because they don't know what to do? Just tell them you don't have any identification the next time you go to the airport to fly. And when they go berserk and start threatening you and telling you that you can't get on the plane, just smile at them and tell them that they are denying your right protected by the Constitution for the United States of America. They may be subjecting themselves to possible legal action, and that you're going to get on the plane. You have a ticket. And the faster they realize it, the better off everyone is going to be. Now, you think I'm crazy, folks, but I'm not crazy. And there are a couple of airlines that have already been sued over this and have had to pay out big money. We also have copies of the FAA order, which tells airlines that they must have two pieces of identification from citizens before they can board an aircraft. And you know what it says? It says, under no circumstances can you prevent an American citizen from boarding an airplane if they have paid for and are in possession of their ticket, whether or not they have ID or can produce ID. And the instructions are clear. They're to hold your baggage That's carry-on and baggage that goes in the belly of the plane. Mark it with an orange tag. They're to mark your ticket with an orange tag, and they are not to load your baggage until you are actually on the plane seated. That's simply to prevent terrorists from putting bombs in baggage. You from traveling simply because you refuse to produce or cannot produce or do not have two pieces of government identification. And indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the last time things like this happened was in Nazi Germany. Remember I told you that Hitler was a socialist and social engineering programs always in the guise of protecting us from ourselves will slowly but surely take away all of our rights and enslave us, just like Hitler did in Nazi Germany. That's what's happening. That's exactly what's going on, folks. How many of you would have the guts when they say you can't board the plane unless you show two pieces of government identification, have the guts to look them right straight in the eye and say, I'm an American citizen, I have the right to travel, and unless you can prove or have some kind of reasonable cause to believe that I have committed a crime, you have no right to ask me for identification or bar me from getting on that plane. How many of you listening to this broadcast have the guts to do it? I guarantee you, you'll win. I also guarantee you, you'll get on the plane, and I also guarantee you that if they stop you from getting on the plane, you have, with just a little effort on your part, the ability to collect big bucks from the airlines and from the people who barred you from boarding the aircraft. It's already happening. It has already happened several times. Ask Delta Airlines. And if you want to read a wonderful article on this subject, go to our webpage, which is harvest-trust.org. Go to our webpage. You'll find it right there on the homepage. I think it's your ID, please. Your ID, please. I think that's the phrase that you click on to go to that article. And I think you'll get an eye-opener, folks. And that's what many of you need. You have been sheeple for too long. And folks, if you get upset because they call you sheeple, that is the absolute proof that you absolutely are sheeple. Because if you're not, it won't bother you because you'll know I'm not talking to you. Oh, boy. And, well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a little short break. Let you digest the information that I've given you thus far. And then we're going to talk about Billy Boy and his problem with his zipper.
Glad you could make it.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. And I'm William Cooper.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want it.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor reserve.
Oh, boy. You know, in a way, I kind of hate to get into this next subject, and in a way, we have got to do it. There is no getting around it. It must be done. You see, there are some crazy things going on, and it may be that it has been sort of pushed into the limelight by William Clinton's inability to keep his hands off of every woman that he meets. And you can all sit out there and deny it and stand up for him all you want to. What I just said is the truth. Everybody in Arkansas knows it. It is a public joke in the whole state that the governor of the state couldn't keep his hands off of women ever. He lied about Jennifer Flowers. He's lied about so many things, ladies and gentlemen. How could you possibly believe anything that this man has ever or will ever say? I mean, we've gone over them on broadcasts of the Hour of the Time, one by one, many times, over and over and over again, the repeated incidents of lying by the President of the United States of America. It is a disgrace. We should be ashamed as a nation. We should be ashamed. I hear people tell me every day, Bill, what are you so upset about? Everybody lies. Nixon lied. I mean, Carter lied. I mean, they all lie. I mean, all the politicians lie. Gee, even the politicians in my city lie. I mean, you know, why should anybody get upset? Well, when I hear that from people, folks, I know that we're farther gone than anyone can ever imagine, because the public persona has decided that lying is okay. They have decided that their vote doesn't count because they have negated it from the beginning, knowing full well that they're going to vote for politicians who are lying to them about who they are, what they represent, and what they're going to do while in office, and they vote for them anyway, which means that's a no vote. They don't even know what they're doing when they cast that vote. But yet everybody knows it. Everybody will admit it. Politicians lie. Politicians are liars. You can't be a politician unless you are a liar. Do any of you know any politicians who has not lied to the public, to their constituency? I can't think of any. I don't know any. If you know one, please write me a letter. Tell me who it is. We'll research their election campaigns and their speeches, and we'll find out. And if they have not lied, I'll get on this radio and I'll say there is a politician in this country who has not lied to the American people or to his or her constituency, and name that person right here. But you know what? I bet you I won't get any of those letters, and I'll bet you that if I do and we do the research, I'll get on the air and I will be able to name many lies and demonstrate to you on this broadcast that they were in fact lies, to everybody's satisfaction. If the President of the United States, folks, will lie to us about something like this, what else is he lying to us about? If he will betray his wife, his family, if he will lie to them, what will he do to us? That's the whole gist of it. You see, if this person lived down the street from me and had a regular job like everybody else, I wouldn't care what he or his wife did. It's none of my business, as long as they don't hurt the person or property of any other human being, because I believe in freedom. But you see, this isn't somebody who lives down the street from me and has a regular job like everybody else. This person is in the most powerful office in the world. And he is compulsive, chronic womanizer. Compulsions have a habit of reaching into other areas. What if he was sitting at his desk one day and just kept looking at that button? And just kept looking at it? And all of a sudden he began developing the urge to push that button. And he managed to control himself for a few days and maybe a couple of weeks, but every time he saw that button, he just had the urge to push it. You see, if he doesn't have any self-control over his sexual desires, how can he have any self-control over anything else in his life? This is a man who believes that he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, as long as he is able to practice the cunning use of the English language in order to weasel out of any responsibility or admission of his wrongdoing and accountability for saying. That's why they call him Slick Willie. You know, it just amazed me that the American people voted for a man called Slick Willie. If you were going to buy a car, ladies and gentlemen, and you were driving down the street, and you saw a car lot with a big sign that said Slick Willie's Cars, you wouldn't stop there in 100 million years. You'd go on down the road to Joe Jones' dealership and everyone listening to this broadcast knows that I'm right about this. Not one of you would stop at Slick Willie's used car lot, not in a million years, yet you voted the man into the most powerful office in the world to be the president of the United States of America. That tells me an awful lot about the American people. Of course, I already knew it. I found out several years ago. It made me so terribly angry that I just got so disgusted that it came out in a lot of my broadcasts. I just wanted to rub it in the face of the American people. Well, I don't do that anymore because I've sort of accepted the situation and I deal with it in other ways. But it's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. You see, the big question here is not whether he lied or whether he didn't lie or whether he went to bed with this young woman or not. The question is how did our society get so filthy, dirty, rotten, stinking, sick that such a thing could ever happen? That's the question. That's the question you should all be asking yourselves. When did it become okay to lie? Did you know that teachers in schools all across America, probably right here in this town, especially teachers who belong to the National Education Association, the Union for Teachers, the Marxist Socialist Union for Teachers, are teaching your children that lying is situational and that it's okay, and that lying should be based upon the situation one finds him or herself in? This is being taught to your children in school, that it's okay to lie. The lying is not bad. That most criminal actions and activities and trouble that one gets themselves into during their life is usually out of inexperience or ignorance or stupidity, and that it's okay to do it and you shouldn't feel bad about yourself because it's a learning experience. Now, that's what they're teaching our children in public schools today. That's why my children will never, ever see the inside of any public school under any circumstances whatsoever. They're homeschooled. My daughter Pooh could read when she was 3 years old. She reads now at 7 better than most college graduates. And it's not because she's any more intelligent or that she's any better human being or anything else. It's simply because we taught her. And we never, ever told her, you're not old enough to learn that. If she wanted to read, we taught her to read. If she expressed an interest in something, we encourage it. And we teach her. You can do the same thing. But you better get your kids out of public school. Oop, I said the no-no word. I know now that if Pooh is listening to this broadcast, I'm going to get in trouble because I said kids. You see, she knows what a kid is. A kid is a baby goat. She doesn't like being called a kid, and she doesn't want me or anyone else, any of us adults who grew up being called kids, to call young people kids. They are children. And my daughter, when she hears somebody, me, her mother, anybody, use the term kids, she becomes very upset because she knows that she's not a baby goat. And she will correct you instantly. And I know I'm going to get a speech as soon as this broadcast is over because I reverted to my childhood and used the word kids. I apologize to you, Pooh, and to all the young people who may be listening. I realize and understand that you are children, and when I and other adults make that mistake, it's because we were reared being called kids. We weren't as smart as some of you are now. Maybe we were as smart. Maybe we were more ignorant. You see? And, of course, I did that on purpose, folks, because I want to demonstrate to you the use of words. President Clinton is probably telling the truth when he says he didn't tell anyone to lie. I'm going to tell you right now that based upon his past performance, it is extremely difficult. And I'm not telling you that I know whether or not this young lady is telling the truth, because I don't. But based upon his past experience, his reputation in the state of Arkansas, the testimony of many other women, it is absolutely impossible for me to believe that he did not have sex with this young woman at this point. I just can't believe it. I don't believe it. Because that's the kind of person he has proven to be. Remember Jennifer Flowers? 12 years she was his mistress. He claimed that he was not engaging in any relationship with her whatsoever, other than normal friendship, that there was no sexual relationship, that she was not his mistress, period. And we are told by competent authority that he admitted that he had lied in his deposition in the ongoing case of Miss Paula Jones. Now there's another one. You know, I hate it when I hear these girls referred to as bimbos or bimbo eruptions. Rush Limbaugh, you're doing these young women a great disservice. Paula Jones was not a bimbo. She was doing her job. She was invited up to a hotel room by an Arkansas state patrolman, and had no idea what was going to happen. She's not a bimbo, and that's why she's suing. This current young lady is not a bimbo. She was a young 21-year-old impressionable girl who was an intern in the White House. She was around the President of the United States of America, was starstruck, and was taken advantage of. She's not a bimbo, and it's not a bimbo eruption. Now, Jennifer Flowers, that's another story. A 12-year mistress of the governor of Arkansas, whom she knew was married. Maybe, maybe not. But even then, I would be very careful about calling that woman, who appears to me to be extremely intelligent, a bimbo. A bimbo is somebody you meet at a party that's dancing on the tabletop, that's a one-night stand, and is always good for a few laughs and a tumble in the hay, in case you didn't know that. I don't think any of these women really fit into that category. And besides that, I was reared that you just don't do that anyway. You don't call a woman a bimbo. Even though she may be a gentleman or a lady, does not do those kinds of things. But, you know, who am I to voice that off on a nation that has gone so far downhill into the cesspool that it doesn't matter? There are no morals. It's okay to lie. It's okay to cheat. It's okay to steal. It's okay. It's okay. Just as long as you don't get caught. Right? You see, ladies and gentlemen, the nation is concentrating on all the wrong issues. When Lon Horiuchi, the FBI agent sniper, murdered Vicki Weaver at Ruby Ridge in Idaho, Nobody said a word. The press lied about it, took the side of Lon Horiuchi, and said it was okay because Randy Weaver was a white supremacist. Well, it turned out that Randy Weaver had committed no crimes. He was acquitted of all charges. Collected millions of dollars. But it didn't help him because they murdered his son. They murdered his wife. They shot Randy and they shot his friend Kevin Harris. And the surviving daughters had to spend many, many days in that cabin with the dead body of their mother lying beneath the table. She was shot, incidentally, holding her 8-month-old baby to her breast while standing in the doorway. These were not criminals. And Randy Weaver was never a white supremacist. At least not that I can tell. He didn't believe the white race was superior. He just believed that people should be left to live with their own kind. That's racist, to be sure. But it's not supremacist, also, to be sure. I heard Christians, so-called Christians, of course, they're not really Christians at all, don't even know the meaning of the word, tell me that the Branch Davidians were just a bunch of religious fanatics and got exactly what they deserved. Massacred, burned to death men, women, and children. For what? Even if David Koresh had automatic weapons, all he did was fail to pay a $200 tax in order to make those weapons legal. That's right, folks. It has never been a crime to own a machine gun in this country as long as you pay the tax, and at that time the tax was $200. I understand now it's around $1,600. But nevertheless, it's a tax. $200 is not even a felony, it's a misdemeanor. Did you know that? Since when did they start killing people for misdemeanors? And you still have some Branch Davidians who all they did was defend themselves and their property against an assault by an army. And they're in jail for like 40 years. So I ask you, if that didn't make any difference to you, what the hell do you care how many women Bill Clinton sleeps with or how many times he lies about it? What do you care if the Chinese communists are taking over ports and building installations in this country? What do you care if they're passing draconian, unconstitutional laws all the time in the halls of Congress in Washington, D.C. What do you care? I mean, really, this is pretty stupid when you look at it in relationship to the things that have happened and are happening in this country that are really important. You skip over all of those and you jump into bed with the president. To see what's going on under the covers. You see, when you put it in perspective like that, it really doesn't make much difference, does it? But I got to tell you, all of this is just a tremendously huge, glaring notification of the symptoms of the encroaching death of liberty and freedom and of the United States of America. It is the notification that the American people are no longer moral and strong and ethically tuned. that we are wading up to our ears in a filthy cesspool, which was created and is being maintained by those very same American people. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. We'll do this again tomorrow night, and tomorrow night we're going to take calls and talk about this. So think about what it is you want to talk about.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Pull out your arms. Let me step off past you. We're here from the government. We're here to help you.
And I'm from the IRS with a power to tax. Did you got a complaint? Think of the fact.
You gotta get this house. Surrender your taxes. Give me your gold. You better obey if you want to hold. Cancel the discount and do what you're told.
Hillary Salala, Reno Janet Dyke, reading the words of General Albert Pike, the money founder of the Ku Klux Klan, engineer of the Masonic Master Plan. Pike said,
Bill Clinton's in office, folks, because you put him there. You knew he was a liar before you elected him, and you knew he was a liar before you re-elected him. A liar is a liar is a liar is a liar is a liar. And generally, men who are womanizers don't stop just because they got a promotion at their job, or because they got elected to office, or because they got caught one or two times. Generally, men who are womanizers who would betray the partner that they married, betray their wedding vows, betray their children, will betray anyone, and is capable of some of the most vile and despicable things that you can even imagine. Just because it's done does not make it right. And I even heard some people say that we shouldn't expect the president to be any better than all the other men in the country who are out fooling around their wives. Why hold him to a higher standard? I'll tell you why, folks. Because he is the president. Because he's the leader of the nation. He should be and is an example of what the nation stands for and believes in. He is the role model for the young people coming up in the next generation who look to him to see how high or how low they should set their standards, who may also have aspirations of becoming president of the United States of America. That's why but in the process of understanding all of this, understanding that it is an indication of the cancer of the American people, also understand that Bill Clinton is just, ladies and gentlemen, a manifestation of all of us. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, once again, for the hour of the time. We're not finished with this subject. We're going to have some clips.